Anthony Duron for the Grim and Bloody podcast here, talking about the Spooky Empire Film Festival that's happening October 27th through the 29th at the Orange County Convention Center in Florida. You're going to want to be a part of this film festival. If you've been watching or listening to our shows, you have this taste of the type of quality that you're going to be experiencing at the film festival. And tickets are on sale now. You can also purchase them at the door there. And one note, Al Omega, part of the show here, will be on hand at the film festival talking with filmmakers and festival goers alike. He will be in the lobby on Saturday, so you'll definitely want to stop by, say hello, take a picture of Al in the Grim and Bloody podcast, because we will be on site taking in the festivities as well. So keep it locked here, and hope you enjoy the shows.
The Grim and Bloody Podcast. This show is a presentation of horror, thriller, and suspense, and is intended for a mature audience. Join us at your own risk.
Thank you for welcome to the Grim and Bloody Podcast. My name is Kevin Nicholson, and we are engaged in Spooky Empire, the next episode.
Spooky
Empire, the wonderful film festival and convention that is out of Orlando, Florida, this October 27th through the 29th. And we are in partnership with them, and they provide us with guests, and we promote the the event and so forth. And with me, as usual, are our partners in crime, Joe Flynn, award-winning creativity host. Hi, Joe.
Hello, everyone.
And also Anthony Duron, the producer of this fine piece of programming. That's not something destined quite yet for an OnlyFans account, but Anthony, how are you doing?
Good, hanging in there. It got warm. It was supposed to be cold now. I was dusting off my pants and my jacket, and then it's 95 degrees outside, so it's all right. Shorts are staying on.
Well, as long as you keep the camera up above the shoulders, you can do whatever you want with underneath. You know, just,
or I can just mark the the film of the show, not for kids. We'll just go from there.
And of course, again, my name is Kevin Nicholson. I do writing for We Belong Dead magazine, The Scary Monsters, and other magazines. And we are here with the man behind, I think, which is one heck of a funny horror film, which is Bloody Freaking. I'm going to say it like this: Bloody Freaking Mary.
I love
Kevin
it.
Kevin had fun with this. That's perfect.
I hope y'all enjoyed it, man. Because
it was
only people here in Jacksonville, Florida, saw it at the premiere. So y'all are the litmus test.
We're gonna go kind of spoiler free here. We try not to give out too many details. The killer was this. That kind
the killer
of
was Dave thing. Chappelle.
It was Michael Myers. I swear.
It was Jim Brewer. I swear to God, it was him as the killer. So I'm going to tell you, you said it was, we were talking off camera, that this was kind of, you said it was kind of, came germinated from your Norman Lear passion in the 70s. You said Sanford and Son and so forth. And you also talked about urban legends. I'm going to ask you once again, was none of this anything connected to Candyman? Because I saw a lot of Candyman-esque stuff here.
Well, Candyman definitely was during my time when I was a late teen and early 20s. So it, I was just trying to stay urban. This is my 13th feature film in like 23 years. So I've just sometimes... too many white folks in a movie doesn't make a dime, and so sometimes you just got to go back to your Rudy Ray Moore roots and your Richard Pryors, and you've got to talk shit and you got to put a gang of good looking people in one house and kill them all one by one. So it was really, the crazy thing is this was one of those throwaways. This was a middle project where I was like, you know, Hollywood always says the cheapest way to make a movie is one location with a bunch of good looking people and kill them off. And, you know, so having gone and seen Friday the 13th 1 and 2 back to back at a drive-in in 81, I think it was, that was the premise. But then when you start adding, you know, the eye candy and the talented people that I was able to get in the movie, it just took off on its own. So it's been a beautiful ride.
Were they CGI or practical?
They were all practical. My special effects chick, Cynthia Roy, here in Jacksonville, is just tremendous. She just came up with all the cool different ways to kill people. And the hardest parts were, you know, just trying to figure out if you've ever filmed anything, how the hell can you film through a mirror without getting the old white guy who's standing behind the tripod in the shot and shit. So there were a lot of little ticky-tack things that we had to figure out, and Cynthia Roy was just she's one of those Spooky Empire folks. Every year she goes down to Spooky Empire and is just a huge fan, and
she's a friend of the show. She's a friend of the show too. Yeah.
Oh, really? Damn, perfect. Yeah, she's tremendous and all. And I just got out of the way. I was just like, look, you're the expert here. You figure out what Bloody Mary should look like, and she'd come back and be like, all right, here's the prosthetics for the hands, and here's the dress, and here's the prosthetics for the face, and we're gonna do this and that. And I'm like, me no habla, that's some Espanol shit, you know, just do your thing, Cynthia. I'm just trying to get folks in focus and make them look cute, so you do you. So
I wanted to say that this film had a kind of an energy and a levity about it. It didn't feel like there was any pressure at all in making it. It felt pretty effortless. It felt like everyone who was part of it was just on board to have fun. You know, it was just, we're going to make a movie. We're not going to take ourselves seriously. We're going to smoke a ton of weed. And at the end of this, we're still going to be high a week after we're filming. It was like the closest thing that Half Baked was flipped on its head and turned into a horror movie. Congratulations. It was probably the, there's different types of comedy. There's the witty one-liners. There's the deadpan humor. And then there's the old Dave Chappelle, do you want to get high, man, with Red Man and Method Man. This is one of those films. So it was a pleasure to watch, and it was good craftsmanship. And you achieved your vision of it, and that's what we've always talking about. Directors who set a vision, executed, and the end product is exactly what they hoped. And I hope this is what you wanted at the very end.
It is, and it's a beautiful thing when that comes together. I mean, I always say I'm the only one who's sober on the set, you know, just because somebody has to keep the camera in focus. But most of my films have always been, you know, you need a blunt, a 40, and some raw cookie dough and all, and it just makes the movies better. So it's, I mean, I go back, my second film, Cracker Jacked, is I've seen things over the years of it's the worst shit ever made and it's the best shit ever made, and I'm thinking it's probably neither one. But if you do have a you know, a blunt and something sugary, it's probably going to be a cool ride.
But I gotta tell you that the scene that had me on the floor laughing was the scene with the guy sitting on the toilet just farting and not stopping farting. And I kept thinking of John Witherspoon, Fridays, and he does the whole thing with the air spray and things like that. That was just like,
I'm a huge Ice Cube fan. Oh man, I'm with you. And Witherspoon's he's from that whole Robert Townsend, Keenan Ivory Wayne.
Sure.
My high school years, you know, with Hollywood Shuffle, sure. And I'm gonna get you, sucker. Right. So. That was the hardest part was making sure this was still a horror film, because there's enough dick jokes to go around, and most of them are from the four main chicks and everything. But it was that weird balance, because as the editor too, I'm going, holy shit, we only have killed what, one person in the first half hour? Holy shit, are people gonna hang on? And then the last half hour, you know, all bets are off and shit. So it was, it's really my first horror film, and just trying to figure out how to keep a moody, slow this shit down and still stretch it and make it a long enough movie to be a feature film, because the script was only 45 pages. So it was, and it's always a minute a page is a minute on stage type shit. So we had to slow this thing down. And there's a few instances where there's like, is this gratuitous slow-mo? And I'm like, yeah, but the lead chick's pretty fucking hot. So I'm cool with looking at her for X amount of time. So it just, it was just a blast, man. I mean, even Biggie, who's in the, one of the four girls, she was rolling the prop blunts and everything that was used in the movie. When she wasn't in scene, she was rolling them. So, the cast and crew, they took care of themselves, you know, and then I just kept them full of Publix chicken, and we just had a good time, man.
Well, I gotta say, Anya Thomas as the heroine is actually, she's quite good. She very strong, you know, character, and she's kind of quiet to start, you know, the film, to start the story, but by the end, she's the tough as nails, very Sigourney Weaver kind of, you know, you want to motherfucking bring it, you know, that kind
yeah,
of
thing. Yeah, I'm glad you saw it, because Anya was like this evolving. She was really green. Like, there were scenes we filmed early on in the movie where, you know, it's kind of flagrant and all that her boyfriend's you know, checking out the other chick, and the actresses were like, this shit wouldn't happen in real life. And I'm like, that's cool. This shit ain't real life. Let's just you know, what's pretend happening? Yeah, she's got to be green. She's got to be too into this Bloody Mary challenge on TikTok. And I, you know, most people love the first 5 minutes, just the bubblegum scene, you know, like the red light Karen at the red light and all the nosy ass older white chick at the red light. Yeah. So it just that kind of sets it up for all right, here we go. This shit's gonna be wild and over the top. So
yeah.
But Anya is legit. She's the second film I've done with her, and she's the truth. She can rap, she can act. I'm always trying to figure out how to get her in another script and stuff. I've got a Bad Mama Jamma script, which is like an 80s Pam Grier type of vibe and stuff, with a revenge flick of sort, and she would just eat it up. She could just tear that thing up.
I could see that. Pam, right? Pam right. Was my girl. Pam was my girl. You know, that was, yeah, I could see her as a Pam Grier type of tough girl.
Yeah, I had to watch Jackie Brown the other night again just to soak it in, because I would love to have Pam Grier as a mom or some type of thing on the set and everything. Because a crazy side note is I had Camille Keaton play my mom in a movie I did 3 or 4 years ago, and from I Spit on Your Grave. And it's always just a blast to try to get someone in that you grew up and enjoying, you know, like I really wanted Rudy Ray Moore in my second film. I just couldn't afford him before he passed away. So there's just some of those where you go, I'd love to work with Dice Clay. He would be the funniest and the coolest cat in the right. whole damn movie. So
there you go.
No, and I was going to mention, since we're talking about your leading actress, can you tell us a little bit more about your other characters, or cast-wise?
Sure, sure. Chi-Chi is Pal Portillo, and she's Latina, but she added the accent in. This is one of her first acting gigs, and then to ask her to do a accent and all that too, and she still pulled it off, was great. I know.
Very reminiscent of Sofia Vergara. Sofia Vergara.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. And she was trusting, you know, here's just a bunch of dudes on a set and all, and she's in a red bra for most of the movie and stuff, but she was real trusting and funny chick. And Whitney Carroll plays Biggie, and she's actually a singer, a hell of a singer, and it was her first time acting. And some people say there's some Chris Farley type of facial expression stuff, like she really hit her stride with some of those Uno card scenes, and the minute the girls go into the mirror and do Bloody Mary in the mirror and stuff, is, you know, when she's smoking the blunt with powder outside on the back porch and stuff, they literally got too shitty and couldn't stop laughing halfway into the scene and stuff. And here it is, you know, January of this year, and it's 40 degrees, everyone's freezing their asses off, and here two of the actresses are just shoddy, you know, we're trying to get these scenes knocked out and all. But and Gwen Henderson is a hell of a singer too, and she plays Jenny Powder, who just you know, has way too much of a coke habit and a weed habit, and that just doesn't mix well in a horror flick. So crazy shit happens.
Very true. And I do have to say, they all did a great job, and really happy with the film for you.
I appreciate it so much. We've had such a cool responses and stuff. Of course, you're supposed to hear nothing but hell of a job, attaboy, at a movie premiere when it's friends and fam. But to have you know, people with their own podcast and who are knowledgeable with the genre, I really appreciate it. It makes me feel good about when the streaming, hopefully the streaming drops this month in time for the Halloween season.
Nice. I wanted to ask, are you planning to attend Spooky Film Festival?
Definitely. That's going to be way too much fun. I think the majority of the cast and crew are going to be there. I know Cynthia Roy will be there. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure all the girls from Bloody Mary will be there, and even some of the fellas are going to be able to make it. So we're excited, man. This is just, it's been, you know, it's just been one of those blessings, you know, if I'm going to get serious at all. my old man passed away in November of last year. And so I wrote the script in August. Had already picked the cast, and we were doing a read through coming up, and he passed on a Thursday, and we pushed through and did a read through as the cast and crew like 3 days later. And so then, you know, then Holly, that plays Bloody Mary in the movie, her dad passes, and weeks later, Bobby, the guy who plays Bobby, Joshua Newkirk, his dad passed. And so I was like, holy shit, should we even be doing this movie? Is saying her name three times really? You know,
yeah,
I got spooked, man. So I was like, holy shit. And yeah, so, really yeah. So, but to say all that, I say it, and that it feels like my old man and their old men have been kind of really making this a success, have really been putting their hands over it. And all, if you believe in the spirit and all that beautiful stuff. And that's, we still had to do the work. We still had to put in the 15, 18 hour days, you know, we shot in actually only 10 days, but we're hammering it out, knocking it out. So, that was just, you know, when you're paying for everything on a credit card and you're grieving and you're just trying to, you know, push through, and you're really talking about a 2 or 3 person crew and a 15 person cast. It was,
that's,
you know,
tough. That's just really tough.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have faulted you for turning the feature into a short.
Right.
And just finding the meatiest part. and making it a really strong 15 minutes, considering those difficulties. And you would have been accepted into Spooky.
I'm so excited about Spooky. I know nothing about it. I called my buddy Camille Keaton. I'm like, hey, are you going to be at Spooky? She's like, I'm doing a convention in Phoenix. She said, but it's one of the best horror film, if not the best in the country. And I love going to it all the time. And I said, well, damn, I was just wanting to go just because Jenna Jameson was going to be there and shit, you know, and then come to find out. Right.
Go for Jenna Jameson, stay for Keith or Sutherland.
That's right. And also, I know Danielle Harris and Scout Thomas are going to be there as well.
Man, so Bloody Freaking Mary is screening at Spooky Film Festival Saturday, October, I think it's 28th at 12:45 p.m. Or a.m., excuse me. And it's capping off the horror comedy evening. Yep. So if I'm reading it right, that's 12:45 a.m.
Sunday morning.
Wow.
Well, you're the PM or AM. If that's AM,
so this is so you're saying 12:45 AM. Wow.
That's what's written here.
Right.
Double check the brochure for exact time and date.
Let me ask you a question. Chad, let me ask you a question that Joe was talking about earlier. Just a quick thing on the practical effects that you used. You said that it was all practical effects the entire film. I was very intrigued by the sequence in the film where one of the characters, I won't say you know who, but one of the characters basically gets their stomach spliced open. And so I see a lot of entrails and so forth. Was that kind of a difficult, shoot to do? A difficult scene?
If you're talking about the intestines and everything.
Sure.
The crazy thing about it was that was an add-in that week, like a few days earlier. I was just like, Cynthia, we need to throw the fucking kitchen sink at whatever's left, because it feels like we were really being polite about the effects. You know, sometimes there's just a hand you see, or you know, we weren't wanting to give away Bloody Mary too early in the movie, and so that scene was like, you know, just guttural. She just threw the kitchen sink at both of the people in that scene. And for me, we had already been filming all day. Like that whole day was from morning till in the middle of the night. The next morning was those two characters. Like we got all their scenes and all that get spliced in between the whole movie and keep cutting back to them. So, them two and me and Sin were really riding out that whole day and just burnt out already. So by the time we get to that last scene, which is easily 2 a.m. at that point, and then we're adding Anaya, which is Mitzi, and we're bringing in Bernard, who's Ricky. Mind you, the four guys are Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. So to bring him in at the end and all to, you know, for the scene, it was it wasn't hard on me, trust me. It was all hard with Cynthia and all for making it happen, but the saving grace was Joshua Newkirk, who played Bobby, you know, the one that was with the intestines. He just the dude bloomed. Like, he's one of the quietest cats I've ever met. He's really kind of, you know, I was just like, we got to get this good looking dude in here just for the ladies and stuff. But he carries that scene. He really went all in with the breathing and the choking up, and just that was his Denzel shit. Like, it gave, whenever we're like, this is your Denzel moment to, you know, to a character, we'll be like, this is where you put your foot in it and shit. And he really carries that scene so much and stuff. And that along with the blood effects just are what make it. You know, you throw in, you know, throw in contacts and the intestines, and just the way Cynthia makes it look like there's these deep cuts in people and stuff. And I just tried to sell the shit out of it at the bedroom door when they're trying to kick in the door, and just sell the sound of like Bloody Mary wreaking havoc inside this bedroom and shit and all, and then disappearing as soon as they come in and turn the lights on. So it's one of my favorite scenes, and I tried to make it, you know, sad and scary and all these different things, make it poignant before all hell breaks loose, you know. So
right.
I thinking of the character's name, it almost brought up, and this is just a bad joke, I'm sorry everyone, New Edition. I was thinking, it's like, hey, isn't that the name of New Edition?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man.
I was being lazy. I'd already had Bobby, and then when by the time I start writing the rest of the script, I'm just like, Ronnie, Ricky, and Mike would just, let's see if anybody is my age and see if I can slip one past them, you know. So I almost got you.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Well, I want to say it was a tremendous, tremendously fun film.
Yes.
And thanks for putting it together.
Thank you, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Chad, before we wrap this beautiful show up, we'd like to know where our listeners can follow you.
The easiest way is always facebook.com/ Bloody Frickin' Mary.
Bloody Frickin' Mary.
And the frickin' is FRICKIN. And Chad Hendricks is normally easily to find me. You can find me on IMDb if you want to see any of the other titles. I have 6 features on Tubi right now, so you can just type in. Yeah, nice. You can type in Chad Hendricks, and that's CKS, not an X, like the great lefty Jimi Hendrix. But yeah, it's real easy to find me. I'm just in Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida. Just finished writing a new feature script and all that I'm jonesing to do. Just trying to figure out if I have enough money on the credit card to make it happen or not. So it's. But Spooky Empire is Aaliyah and them, and I can't thank them enough. They really validated this movie as much as y'all did, because to have 14, 15 people in a room watching a film and then deciding we're one of 8 features that should be there is really, it validates the hard work and that people get the jokes, you know, that they know it's a scary movie and then they still can laugh and all before they see people getting their asses killed.
Yeah, it's one thing that when your mom says, oh, good job, sonny, you made a film. It's another when industry professionals sit down, review submissions, sit down, watch your film, discuss it amongst themselves about if this should beat out 6, 7, 10, 15 other features, because their ass is on the line, because they're charging tickets for people to go see your movie, and they want to make sure their viewing experience is good. So they want to make sure that whatever they're putting on the screen is entertaining. So it validates you, and it doubly so. Someone enjoyed it enough that they're going to charge people to screen your film to watch. So Spooky Empire, October 28th, 12:45 a.m., part of the horror comedy program. While you're at the film festival, definitely check out the convention. Because as far as I can tell, this list of guests at Spooky Empire just keeps growing. Every day on their Instagram, they keep announcing more and more guests. It is insane. Al, who is not a part of our show tonight, is going to be there in person recording the Grim and Bloody podcast. We don't know which filmmakers is going to get a hold of. He might get a hold of you, Chad.
Chad?
I don't know which side, though. He's going to get a hold of something. We're going to make sure he's on his best behavior. But yes, Spooky Empire, you're going to want to be there. You're going to want to see these films that we've been talking to for about 2 weeks now. We have many more to go, so keep you logged in here. And once again, thank you, Chad, for spending time allowing us to watch your film. And I'm sure you can't wait to see it screened in front of a live audience in Florida.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all. And I was listening to y'all's podcast with William Griffey, and I was like, I know Bill.
See, I was going to ask
ever
you.
If ever there was another Florida guy to want to emulate, he would be that dude. I had to go
watch
some of his old stuff after listening to the podcast. So.
Stanley still creeps the F out, creeps the fuck out of me. Stanley with the snake. I don't deal with snakes. I don't deal with snakes well. So when I watched that, oh yeah, Bill Griffey is a good friend of the show, and I'm glad that you mentioned him, because I was gonna say he's in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Is the my memory's shoddy? Who is the punk rock chick from Return of the Living Dead? What's her name again?
Leanne Quigley.
Linnea Quigley.
Nice, yeah. Joe.
Very sweet, you know. She's good friends with Camille Keaton too. I met her a few years ago when we were doing Me and Mrs. Jones and all. And just, I think South Florida is just where all the talent, the horror talent from the 70s and 80s, has gone to retire. Sure. But a lot of good people.
Sure, sure,
excellent.
But
well, thanks. Closing it out. Al's not here, so I guess I'll say it. Watch horror films. Keep America strong.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you, Indiana
Jones.
Have a
good night, everyone.
Have a great night, Chad.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.